Talk radio just got a little cooler.
Chad Benson.
Chad Benson.
The Chad Benson Show.
What is up, party people? Happy Martin Luther King Day. Joining me now, he has been with us on this wild ride of the Donald, as well as President Obama, Jim Kennedy from the Kennedy Institute of Public Policy Research. Jim, good day to you, sir.
Good Martin Luther King Day to you too, Chad.
You know, Jim, let's first touch in this first segment here about President Barack Obama. He is leaving office in a few days. The countdown's on for some, the sadness for other people's anticipation and excitement. You look back over these last 8 years. Give us your fair assessment of President Barack Obama.
A man who wanted to fundamentally change America, according to his own words, and has made some changes in America. You can certainly debate if whether they're for the good or not. He was able to stabilize the economy, but the economic recovery that has come since then has been the weakest on record.
And I can't blame him for that, because we live in a new world, a new economy. I can't blame. Jobs came back, third highest job creator in history. But, you know, last week I read a great article, I think it was in Fast Money, that said when all is said and done, he'll be a mid-level president when it comes to economics and a lot of other stuff. You can't blame him for the fact that only $9 an hour jobs, because those other jobs have just gone away and they're not coming back.
No, you are correct, though. There has been, though, a plenty of government regulation that has hurt job growth in some of those manufacturing and upper manufacturing jobs. But you're correct. Economics have changed, where jobs could constantly go overseas, and what Trump's going to be able to do to bring those back, while he promises he will, could be problematic when you just look at the basic economics of, do you really want to pay $22 for a white T-shirt?
No, I don't, actually. I pay $5, I go to Walmart, and I don't care that it's made in Pakistan by a kid. It sounds horrible, but I'm going to be completely honest with you. I don't care. Because you know what? That kid's got a job. Some people here don't have jobs. He only may make a cluck a day or whatever they get paid over there, a rupee. But it is what it is, you know. I mean, and look, you know, maybe I'm a shallow pig. Maybe it is true, but a little bit. Everybody's saying you're kind of, but yeah, you know what? I'll take it for what it's worth. Talking to Jim Kennedy from the Kennedy Institute of Public Policy Research. On that job front, there's that. On the foreign affairs front, where he definitely had some massive missteps, and I think even the Democrats will admit, people who can be fair and honest, of all the failures that he had, and his toughest road to hoe was the foreign side of it, and he did not get a lot done.
Absolutely not. We are much worse off on foreign affairs than we were when he came into office. There was all this talk about resets with Russia and getting away from the cowboy diplomacy of George Bush. But he really, I don't think there's too many countries in the world that think of us in a better light now than he did 8 years ago, other than the fact that maybe they look at it from the standpoint of, we own them now that where we didn't own them 8 years ago. So from that standpoint, they may be happy that Barack Obama was in office. But the American people don't really have a lot to look, or don't have much to show for 8 years of the Obama foreign policy. And I can't really tell you what the Obama foreign policy was, other than, I guess, really not to get involved unless you have to. But then as long as you don't really have any Americans at risk of dying is kind of his foreign policy, as far as I can figure it out.
You know, we talk about his foreign policy. What was his biggest misstep of all? I mean, you've got Iran, which, again, that will, time will tell with that. But Syria, ICE, the growth of ISIS, pulling out early. If you could look back and pinpoint something that you said, you know, this is one of the things where we'll look back on your legacy, and you're going to be judged like this because of that.
Well, probably the Syrian problem, but also the Iranian. See, I don't think the Iranian from his aspect is a misstep. That's a policy he truly believes in. He thinks if you do the kumbaya hug with Iran, they're just going to drop their nuclear program and love everybody and think the Israelis are the greatest people on earth. But that simply isn't part, if you just understand the mentality and what they have spent 40 years doing in Iran, that's simply not going to happen. The Syrian problem, I mean, Syria is a mess. It's a quagmire. You go off of the premise that my enemy's enemy is my friend, but, you know, and that may not necessarily even work in Syria.
No, because you don't even know who your friend or enemy is. They're the same person within 10 different minutes.
And yeah, exactly. It changes day by day, hour by hour. You throw the Turks in there, that doesn't help. You throw the Russians in there, and their agenda really isn't anything about ISIS. It's simply about propping up Assad. They have no interest in fighting any terrorists. I mean, if they drop a bomb on a terrorist or two, they're not going to feel bad about it.
No.
But they're there to prop up Assad because that's their guy in the Middle East. That's where they've got their port in the Middle East for them to go into and to land their naval facilities there. So it's a situation that's got 14 different directions on it. And while Obama was clearly not well-educated in foreign policy to handle it, he didn't handle it well. But he certainly wasn't prepared for it either.
No. And I think the line thing, the line, when you say certain things, you know, like whether mission accomplished or these guys, those things haunt you. And that line thing, albeit was one of those things where this is going to haunt you because people will play this back, even though in the end you may not have been able to do anything anyway because that was a fragile regime that was going to fight for its life. And when you back somebody like that up who's got more weapons and has a friend in Russia, they're probably going to stick around longer. And that power vacuum of ISIS rolling into these areas, it is what it is. I mean, when we pulled out and we said we were going to, we gave them a date. You knew that thing was going to be filled by somebody. Russia. What? I mean, look, this is the talk of what it is. This also, again, under his watch, we have gotten a very, I think we've got right now a very porcupine-like relationship with Russia. Porcupines can be neat and cute, but they can also shoot those little things at us, and that's not a good thing.
Yeah, they can sting you in the keister, that's for darn sure. One of the problems with Russia is, you know, first of all, you've got this reset where we're going to improve relations. Then at the end of the term, every Democrat in the world has figured out, hey, you know what? Vladimir Putin's a bad guy. Well, why did it take you guys 7 years and Donald Trump winning an election to figure out Vladimir Putin was a bad guy? You should have been able to figure that out when you walked into office 8 years ago. Vladimir Putin's got his own agenda, and it's Vladimir Putin's. And it's about taking 10% off the top. And from there, it's about reestablishing the Soviet Union and putting it back together state by state. He's got Ukraine, or parts of Ukraine. He probably wants all of it. And he's got a couple of others, especially up in the Baltics now, that he's going to be looking after.
So Lithuania and places like that. Who is
Latvia, you know, Lithuania,
he's
and Estonia. Sure.
Out. Yeah.
He's going to basically drooling over them. He's going to start looking for, you know, I think he's going to test Trump quickly on what or whether Trump's going to make any, you know, would make a move against him or would call for a NATO move against Russia, because he's got those ethnic Russians up there. And that's play number one. He goes out there and says, look, I've got ethnic Russians. I'm the head of Russia. I'm going to protect my ethnic people. You better be nice to them. Now, of course, they're really not being mistreated. Yeah. In fact, many of them like living as ethnic Russians in Lithuania because they're a lot better off than as ethnic Russians in Russia. But that's part the press doesn't really cover. So it'll be interesting to see if he starts testing Trump early or if he gives him some time to settle in and wants to try to assess Trump on a political level.
Talking to Jim Kennedy from the Kennedy Institute of Public Policy Research. Give me something that he did that you thought, you know what? That was a solid effort, whether it be, you know, I mean, because there's a lot of things that we could talk about. Race relations, another one of those things that, it's that was a struggle. But there are some things I can look back and say, you know what, he I think he did a fine job here. I think he did some good stuff here. I think I gave him a C- overall. Other people said I was too generous. Other people said I was too hard. But I think I was very fair in my assessment.
No, I think I think you're fair and generous on that. One of the things that, you know, it's a little hard with presidential legacies is that the actions they take because of the geopolitical environment we're in. The geopolitical environment is not a 24-hour news cycle. It can take 10 years, 20 years. You look at Bush, for example. Okay, he brought peace to the Middle East in the sense of putting a semi-functioning democracy in Iraq. Doesn't look good right now. 20 years from now, it may look great. 20 years from now, it may look like a disaster. We don't know. So those are the type of things that are really hard to pinpoint as far as legacies. As far as Obama, I you know, there are a couple of things that unfortunately I'm escaping off the top of my head right now that I, you know, he put together the Lilly Ledbetter Pay Act, which brings more fair pay to women and more pay equality to women. And you can't really argue about that. But then again, there's legislation that goes back as far as 50 years where they've been trying that. So there's not a whole lot that I can really look at. Stem cell funding, even though I'm on the right of the spectrum, I believe in stem cell funding. I know that's something that he's been behind, so I give him a kudos for that. But, you know, there's really not a lot because he was a very politically oriented guy that did not cross the aisle very often unless he really, really needed their vote. And there wasn't a lot of it. Certainly during the Obamacare debate, there wasn't a lot. I mean, putting in the extension for parents or for kids on their parents' policy and for the existing conditions was great as far as that. hated the legislation in general, but those two points were good points. It certainly should be carried forward if there's any Republican replacement of Obamacare or the ACA going forward.
Talking to Jim Kennedy from the Kennedy Institute of Public Policy Research. We're going to join him straight ahead, and we're going to continue this conversation. This time we'll flip it over to the guy that's going to be the president of these here United States in just a few days, Donald Trump, the Chad Benson Show. Facebook, at Chad Benson Show. Twitter, ChadBenson. It's the Chad Benson Show.
Right, right. You're bloody well right. You got a bloody right to say. Right. You're bloody well right.
Now, let's get this party started.
Obviously.
I feel exactly the same way, but the opposite.
This is the Chad Benson Show.
That's me, people. Happy Martin Luther King Monday. It is the Chad Benson Show. Jim Kennedy from the Kennedy Institute of Public Policy Research has joined us. We just talked about Obama and his legacy. We move from there to what will be the time's about to start for a man trying to build his own legacy. He's done it in business. Donald Trump will be the 45th president of these here United States. What do you expect day one out the gate from the Donald?
I would suspect there will be a number of executive orders signed that will reverse a lot of the Obama work on a number of different things. Probably not DACA, but on many, many of the different things. He may get rid of the Iran deal. I do not know if he actually is going to do that or not. But pretty much he'll be signing some executive orders. And I think there's going to be quite a bit of legislation pushed forward that will be introduced by the Republicans on the House floor.
Speaking of the Republicans, I think Trump this is the first time where I think in a long time where we're going to see an administration and the Republicans out there, you know, the House and the Senate that are going to fight. He seems to me the kind of guy that's like, we're going to get it done and this is what we're going to do. And it's been a long time in coming, I think, for both sides to have somebody who's willing to throw down and even get into the face of the nation and say my party as Jack the Pooch on this. How do you think that's going to work with Paul Ryan and with a lot of these guys, these old codgers out there? And I heard one of them say today that we're his boss, and he doesn't take that kindly.
Wow. Yeah, I don't think Congress is Trump's boss. I think the American people are, and I think that's who he knows he works for. This is going to be a presidency where you're going to have a group one week will applaud a Trump action. The next week will probably boo a Trump action because they're going to be all over the place. They're going to be all over the political spectrum. He's not a politician. He doesn't care what the party line is. He's about getting it done. He's about draining the swamp, and he's about making America great again. Now, that may seem like, you know, PR lines, but he's got an idea what it means. He wants to secure the border. He wants to bring back jobs. Bringing back jobs is going to be tougher than it sounds. But the one thing that really separates, and this is what separated Trump from Carter, it separates him from Obama and Hillary, is that when people look at him, they think, yeah, you know what? I believe that guy can actually do that. I think he's a leader. I think, you know, I have faith that he'll do that, and I'll go out and spend some money next week because I think America is going to be better off in the next 6 months, 9 months, 12 months.
Which is, again, consumer confidence to me, when you look at all the indexes out there, it is the most important thing because how consumers feel is how they spend. And if they spend, it drives growth. Because people will have to buy more to make more, et cetera, et cetera. All the other things you look at, to me, they're always lagging indicators. It's whether or not we feel that we can go purchase things and that we feel that we're in purchasing stuff. It means we feel in our heart that we're safe at what we're doing so we can afford to spend a little bit more money. And I think there's a lot of that out there. There's optimism. He is going to have a big road to hoe in also winning over the Democrats, and I think that's true because, like everything else, we're so polarized. We want this guy to fail. We want this guy to succeed. Depends what side of the aisle you're on. I think it's a bunch of bunk and BS, but it is what it is. I think he is going to surprise some Democrats. I think he is going to surprise a lot of people, and I'm hoping. But are they so sold, you think, on ruining any chance he has at doing anything? And that they're gonna do all they can to hold out till 2018 and hope they get back some of those things they've lost, you know, and that way they can be what essentially the Republicans were to Obama, which is obstructionist.
I think it depends upon who you are as a senator and where you are as far as your reelection cycle. If you're Chuck Schumer, yeah, I think Chuck Schumer is going to hold out for everything, and they're going to wage a full war against Trump. As you start getting later into 17 and early into 18, the Democrats have a lot of seats to defend. Come because they basically swept a lot of people in 2012 with the Obama reelection. and those seats come up in 18, and there's going to be a lot of vulnerable Democrats out there in states that Trump won, and they're not going to be quite as resilient to back the Democrat Party line come, you know, in the next 12 to 18 months, because they know that they're facing re-election coming up pretty quickly, and they're going to want to be on the right side of the political winds, or the correct side of the political winds, shall I say, when those things happen. So I think you'll be able to pick off Republicans or Democrats here and there that are looking at some scary re-election numbers, or maybe even are going to be primaried. So I definitely think that there are some Democrats that are going to be able to pick off and get on the Trump team.
Talking to Jim Kennedy from the Kennedy Institute of Public Policy Research. Two quick questions. This whole Russia thing, I think people think that he's walking into something he can't handle. I give him more credit than that. I think that Russia thinks he's just this bloviating idiot that was a reality show host, but I don't think he realized that he pulled the wool over a lot of people's eyes on the left who didn't realize who he was and what he's about. And I think he's going to play a cat and mouse game with Putin that I don't think people see coming.
Absolutely. Everybody's 100% convinced that Trump is an idiot who's getting played by Putin. Anybody, generally when you have numbers on that of that many on one side, tends to not work out the way it tends to be, that I would say Trump is probably playing Putin in many ways as much as Putin's playing him. I would hope that he has the full understanding of Putin's desires and activities and what he wants to do, and he wants to disrupt NATO, and he wants to rebuild the Soviet Union. So, yeah, I think it'll be interesting to see who fires the first shot at who on this, and I'm talking metaphorically, not physically, as in war.
Yeah.
On this activity, who's, you know, will Putin make threats against those Baltic republics we talked about earlier, or will Trump say something about? He said earlier today, I heard that he's talking to Putin, or they'll talk to Putin about, if you want to reduce nuclear weapons counts, I may talk about reducing some of the sanctions.
Yeah.
So we'll see where that goes.
Very interesting. His name's Jim Kennedy from the Kennedy Institute of Public Policy Research. You can check him out and follow him along at Righty Jim on the old Twitter there, at Righty Jim, simple and easy. As always, Jim, it's a pleasure to have you in here as we've walked through this many, many crazy days of campaigning all the way through to going out to the conventions and the whole nine yards, and you've been here, and we appreciate you doing that for us.
Thank you, Chad. I appreciate it.
The Chad Benson Show, Facebook, at Chad Benson Show, Twitter. You can tweet the show. Simple and easy, at Chad Benson. You can text the show, 323-538-2423, 323-538-2423. I want to talk about Facebook Live and what some people are doing and what one girl did that scares us all. It's the Chad Benson Show. You got a bloody right to say.
The Chad Benson Show. Talk radio just got a little cooler.
Chad Benson.
Chad Benson.
The Chad Benson Show.
We stream everything now. We stream locker room rants. We stream abusing a mentally handicapped person. We stream jumping off of a 8-story balcony to only shatter our ankles because we're stupid. We stream everything. And there are some good things out there. But by and large, people are doing it for attention. And that's not good. And a girl got attention that unfortunately came too late. She live streamed her own suicide. She filmed it. Caitlin Nicole Davis filmed her death on December 30th in the video taken in the front yard of her home in Cedartown, Georgia. She alleged she was physically and sexually abused by a family member. According to the video, about 20 minutes of silence follows after Caitlin kills herself, in which her family can be heard in the background calling her name and looking before the footage finally ended. Investigators were made aware of the video after the police officer in California saw it the night of Caitlin's death. And this is unfortunate now. This is where we make our statement. Our statements are made via this. And this was a statement that was made in a horrific way. And we have used, look, the power and responsibility, and this is something I think we need to show kids, right? And kids need to understand, like everything, like when you're first learning to drive, your parents probably said it. I know my mom did. And she says, look, this is a responsibility, right? This is a privilege. And the power you have of coming with driving, it's not just about you. There are other people's lives that may be affected by the actions that you pull out there. So be aware of that. And the same thing, I think, needs to come when we talk to our kids about how do we do it somewhat responsible. Kids are going to do dumb things. We get that. That's part of being a child. The growth process is you make stupid choices, but you learn from those mistakes. The problem with kids nowadays is we make sure that we take away any consequences of those mistakes, so they never really learn that their actions had, you know, consequences and that they caused harm or whatever, and so they don't learn. But kids make mistakes. That's how you grow. In life, you fail, and then you fail a little bit less at something. You fail a little bit less, and that's how you essentially move on in life, to become a success, to move forward in life, to grow as an individual. I think children need to understand that there are consequences in life, and this is one of those consequences that we need to show and talk about with kids, is you have a powerful tool at your disposal. A very powerful tool. And the powerful tool is this camera can reach tens of thousands and millions of people. So be wary of your actions. This girl had an opportunity to talk about something, and it was so bad that she needed to kill herself. And in doing so, it is horrific. It absolutely is horrific what took place. And, you know, her parents said, look, it hurts. Her nickname was Dolly. They're devastated. Their heart, their soul, everything is absolutely crushed. They're doing all they can to get all the video taken down, but this is the day and age where once something's out there, it's pretty much out there. And we have this want and need to see the glum and the nasty and the horrible. And she had an opportunity to talk about something. And she felt it was easier to talk about life to her phone and to millions and hundreds and thousands of people she's never met than it was to engage her parents or a counselor or friends or somebody. And that is horrible. That is absolutely horrible. And that's why we all need to talk to our kids. With these things in our hand, there is a responsibility that comes with these things. There is a huge responsibility. Knowing full well that these things can hurt people, these things can devastate your own life, these things can ruin portions of your own life, these things are amazing. But again, responsibility, understanding how to use these things correctly. And the fact that kids nowadays feel it's easier to talk into a camera and discuss their lives. And it's not just kids. I see it in adults. I see it in a lot of people where it's, you know, with all of the bad, there's always good, right? And vice versa. And I'd like to think there's more good than bad. But people nowadays turn to this camera to evoke, you know, to evoke a reaction and an emotion from people. And they feel it's easier to discuss their life to nobody. It's a way of being truly anonymous and at the same time grabbing attention. Right? Like that totally, those things don't work together, right? You want to be anonymous. You don't want anybody to know who you are. And at the same time, I want to grab attention. I want to be anonymous. No, I want to grab attention. I want to be anonymous. I want to grab attention. It is sad in this day and age that these kind of things are happening. But more and more of these things are going to happen. And with kids being turned off to the idea of talking to parents so much and turned off from the idea of communicating the way that we were, right? I had a problem, I would go to my aunt. Like everybody in their family has somebody. Nowadays, kids have this thing that they turn to as the thing that leads them into how I want to talk about stuff. And there are great responsibilities that come with that. And I don't think we deal enough in these kind of things. Again, it's a new world. With new worlds are going to come new rules, new ideas, things that we're not quite sure about. There is that new world. But this was a tragic event that took place. And the fact that she did it live not understanding the consequences of people around the country and eventually around the world seeing her hang herself, feeling helpless, leaving them emotionally scarred in a lot of ways, not understanding that. Again, with this phone, with this computer, with these TV monitors, with all, there is personal responsibility. And we as parents and we as adults and we as individuals need to talk about that to our kids. Because we know kids are going to do dumb things. We know kids are going to send boob shots. We know kids are going to, because that's what kids do. They do things like that. We know kids are going to go on and think something's funny, and realistically it bites them in the ass because it is perceived to be racist. They think something's funny and it's perceived to be sexist or homophobic. We didn't grow up in a world where we had these. I'm 46. I didn't. If I did, I'd be screwed. If I grew up in today, if my mentality that I have now was here, I grew up in a world where, it was water off a duck's back and we move on with our lives and situations. I didn't grow up in the uptighty world. I didn't grow up in a world that was terrified of everything. I didn't grow up in a world where words were more dangerous than anything else. I didn't grow up in a world where I could be on camera talking about stupid stuff and be an overnight sensation or an overnight villain. I didn't grow up in any of those things. I was just me. And when I did something stupid, it was just in front of me and my friends. And nowadays, it's for the world to see. And some people, they love that. Some people want that. Some people need that for whatever reason. But the responsibility needs to be preached, and we're not doing it enough. And what she didn't realize is not only did she kill herself and she hurt her family, but she also put people out there who are watching this, who felt helpless, who felt devastated, watching a young girl of 12 years old talk about the fact that she was sexually assaulted, talk about the fact that she was going through this horrific thing, and there wasn't anything anybody can do about it to stop it, and then watch her hang herself and eventually die is a horrific thing. And it left scars on a lot of people out there. I've seen a lot of comments, a lot of people talk about the fact that people saw this happening and there was nothing they could do. There was, and that, again, is another one of those things where we talk about all kinds of stuff, and these are the things that we have to talk about our kids, and we're so terrified to talk to our kids anymore because we've decided our kids are no longer our kids. They're our friends. They're our pals. I tell you this. I have a 6.5-year-old. You know what he is? He's my son. I love him. He's my best buddy in the world. But when dad has to be dad, dad is dad. Because I love him more than I like him. And I think we need more of that in this world and less of let's be pals. Let's preach personal responsibility. Let's talk about things like this. And let's get them to understand that there are consequences to actions. The Chad Benson Show Facebook, at Chad Benson Show Twitter, ChadBenson, Chad at ChadBensonShow.com. You can text these wonderful show program here at 323-538-2423, 323-538-2423. Let's wrap it up, shall we, on this Monday night, Martin Luther King night, the Chad Benson Show. I'll take it, wrap it up. I'll take it,
wrap it up. I'll take it. You're listening to the Chad Benson Show.
Into the NFC Championship game. It is good! The Packers are moving on! Aaron Rodgers has done it again! And Mason Crosby, a hero for Green Bay.
What a game. Mason Crosby, clutch. I think that's 23 straight field goals he's made in a row in the playoffs. 56-yarder last night, and then a winning 51-yarder. Aaron Rodgers was as clutch as they come after Dallas came back and tied it. There was about 40 seconds left, man. And I knew, it's like whoever gets the ball last is winning. And you thought they were going to overtime. Aaron Rodgers he looks like he's contained. Then he rolls out to the left, and that's not natural for him to throw across his body like that. But this is something this guy does. He's got a rifle for in his arm. And I was talking to somebody last night about whether or not he's better than Brett Favre. He's better than Brett Favre. He's better. He's better than Brett Favre. When all is said and done in 7-8 years, who knows how long he's going to play, He'll have nearly the same amount of touchdown passes, if not more. He'll probably get another couple of Super Bowls. He's better than Brett Favre. But as he rolled out last night, you looked and you thought to yourself, he tosses the ball, and when you watch it from behind, it is amazing because he throws it to a spot and there's nobody there. He throws it to where you're going to be. And boom, Cook caught the ball. At first they said he was out of bounds. Then one ref said he was in bounds. Lo and behold, he was. Crosby steps up. Boom. First kick is good, but whoa, 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 whoa. We called timeout before. Got to re-kick it. Thought at first, man, the minute he hit that second one, it was knuckling. It was going to the left. Looked like it was going wide. Next thing you know, boom, it just skims by the left upright. They're going to the NFC Championships. They're taking on Matty Ice and the Falcons. They'll do that this weekend. The other game was interesting, to say the least, yesterday when you had Pittsburgh getting by the Chiefs. Again, the Chiefs' failure to win a game at home. I think it's 73, 83, 93. This is the last time they won a home game. And it was a struggle. It was a tough game to watch. It was cold. You got 80,000 people out there. They tied the game up, but then there was a hold. Was it a hold? It wasn't a hold. And, you know, it was a good game, but you never want the referees to decide something, but they do sometimes. And let's be real. In that moment, you kind of wonder. Like, but I look at it like this. Could he have gotten to Alex Smith? Possibly. Might he have gotten to Alex Smith? I don't know. But what I do know is when you backed it up to the 12, the chances of them completing that was slim to none, and none left town. They still had a chance to stop him, but they didn't. But the Patriots will take on the Pittsburgh Steelers, who won last night. Just a great, great – and all of it was just so entertaining. It was, you know, this weekend. I mean, Patriots didn't look good, but they still won pretty handily. And on the other side, the Falcons – looks great. They look like the team that everybody's completely ignored. And I'll be honest, I look at the way that Aaron Rodgers is playing, and I look at the way that the Falcons are playing, and there's just still something about Aaron Rodgers. There's something about this guy where he's the best in the business, period. As much as I love Tom, and I love Tom Brady, and I love all what he has done and how amazing he is, I love Bill Belichick as much as anybody, and I think Brady Belichick make that thing amazing. But Aaron Rodgers, just purely from the game standpoint of when the ball is snapped, I think he's the best in the business. And he showed it again last night. It was just amazing, man. You can text the show, baby, 323-538-2423. A lot of people texting in saying, I went to Legoland this weekend, and a father brought two older girls into the bathroom who I think were like 11, 12, 13. And what is the age? Everybody's saying 7, it's 6, Chad, 8. I don't know what the age is to leave them out there, but what's the age? You know, I mean, to me, if you're 10 or 11, you can stand outside the bathroom. You don't need to come in with dad or mom, all right? You just don't. And it was uncomfortable. Several of the guys in there felt uncomfortable as well. And again, we talk about trans and who's going where and what's going on. It's enough. Please, enough. Let's talk about stuff that's real. Like, your 13-year-old daughter should not be in the bathroom with me and other men. Text the show, 323-538-2423. Text her right. Hey, Chad, I first want to say I'm a new listener, and I respect your objective system and show. Second, I want to say I'm a liberal who thinks that there are way too many rich and wealthy Democrats and Republicans who don't represent the commonwealth that makes up the majority of the country. I think there needs to be more common people, such as nurses, social workers, police officers, accountants, small business owners, teachers, farmers, involved in politics. Not lawyers, lobbyists, and big business owners looking to whitewash the majority populace in their pockets. What do you think? Look, I think we need more common people in politics. And by common, I mean people that are smart and can do things. By common, I mean people who see that there's a need to be filled, and they're going to go out there and do it. And you'll see it more at the grassroots level, but I would like to see it more in Washington. But we have created a world now where kids come out of places like Harvard and Yale and you know, several of these bigger institutions that have these, you know, great Ivy Leagues, both, you know, Stanford and Duke and stuff. And their goal in life is to work in politics. And they head there and they groom themselves and they look at politics as a career, not as something you do because you feel you owe it to a country and to a city or to a state. that has given you so much. I would love to see more people get into it. But also, politics is nasty. Politics is a nasty business. And a lot of people out there, nurses, teachers, doctors, police officers, they don't want to be involved in this. And it's also very expensive. We forget about that kind of stuff because even to run a small campaign in your local municipality, it at times can be, you know, expensive. People will spend, you know, tens and thousands and hundreds of thousands of dollars to win a spot on a council or to, you know, to be a rep somewhere. And a lot of people don't have that. But yes, I would love to see more of that. I would love to see people think, you know what? I built up a small business. I've done okay for myself. I feel Washington's out of touch with what's going on in America, and I'm going to go there. Let's not discount the successful and the rich because they bring something too. They bring the fact that they're established. They bring the fact that they're successful and they've been winners. But I would love to see more common people go there. And I would love to see more people who are successful, who don't want anything to do with politics, get into politics. But the fact is, for a lot of us, they don't want any part of it. Because it's nasty, because it's ugly, because it's expensive. And that's a sad, sad truth to that. Appreciate your text. You can text all the time, 365 days a year, 24 hours a day. Simple and easy, 323-538-2423. Check out ChadBensonShow.com. We got all the latest and the greatest and the coolest stuff up there from all of our bits that we do here, from the Philharmonica, the Chad Playhouse Players as well. You can email the show at Chad@ChadBensonShow.com. Have yourself a wunderbar rest of your Monday night, Martin Luther King Day. Be kind to each other, people. Simple and easy for Anthony, for Phil. My name's Chad Benson. Night, night, Jack.
The Chad Benson Show.